Does anybody here know what people in New England call everyone else? Yeah, you heard it last night. That's not fair, Kathleen. Cheater. Let's see. Does anybody know? Flatlanders. Let's see if I can pronounce it right. Flatlanders. And anybody south of Massachusetts is a Flatlander. Well, I want to tell you a little scientific parable. Many of you probably heard this. I found it very enlightening in trying to understand the spiritual realities, which is, after all, in another kind of universe that we have trouble imagining, this world that is very real and where we are headed, and a place that Christ says is home. Can you believe this? We're trying to imagine a home we have not seen. The world of Flatland, not the New England one, but the Flatlanders live in a plane. They have only two dimensions. They can go back and forth and side by side, but they stay in the plane. They're people of the plane. They have no conception of what the third dimension is like. They have no up and down. They've never seen it. They cannot conceive of there even being an up and down. Now, if we who live in this world were to try to talk to or communicate to the Flatlanders, we would have a challenge, because if I were to put my hand through Flatland, if it's right here, what would my hand look like to them? Huh? If I put my hand through Flatland, it would look like four circles suddenly appearing, and then my hand as it goes through. They would have a hard time figuring out what that was. In fact, you could go so far as to say that unless they're pulled out of their plane of existence, their own conception of things on the plane, they cannot see reality as it is. It must be a gift. They have to somehow get the insight that there is another world. This is exactly what the spiritual life is like. Christ, when who is the one who ascended into heaven? He's the one that first descended. He went through suffering and death. And when he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to human beings. And the gifts that are listed are the teaching gifts, teaching, preaching, evangelizing, prophecy. These gifts, in other words, he gives us the gift of insight. This is the great gift of our faith, is that we are not confined to this material world where those who do not listen to God think that this world is all there is. And once we realize that the other world exists, it changes everything, doesn't it? Every one of our decisions should be informed about the world we're headed to. Everything matters. If this is all there is, nothing matters, except myself. If there's another world, everything changes. I just came back from a wonderful retreat. Really, it was the best retreat I've had in 15 years. I'm required to take a priest retreat every year as a priest. And one of the themes of the retreat was gaining a new perspective. You know, I'm going to be starting my sixth year. Part of my tooth fell out again, so if I sound funny, it's because I've got a big thing sticking into my tongue. I'm doing penance as I speak. So I know that was too much information, but I called my dentist. He said, try putting a file in there and filing it down. Well, that you can believe that. Anyway, I asked for wisdom and insight. What does God want for me personally? What are my blind spots, you see? Where does God want the parish to go? I've said it many times. He will speak mainly through the community to me. I have to be open to you, or we're not going to go in the right direction. I am not Almighty God, you know what I'm saying? God's speaking through the people. And so we have to have this fourth dimension. It's like a satellite in orbit, you know? Otherwise, we don't know where we're going. And so we have to look and see, how do we get lifted up to that wonderful position Christ wants us to be with him in the ascension already. The book I read, wonderful book for Easter, I think it's called The Other Side by Michael Brown. I'm trying to remember the title of this book. Anyway, he's a Catholic author. He was writing about what is life like on the other side based on what people have experienced at the moment of death. And I found there was not one thing in it that goes against Catholic teaching. It just helps us to vision what might be happening. And he had a number of stories about near-death experiences that I found really interesting and helped me to visualize the ascension a little bit. For example, one lady said when she died, of course, she obviously came back to life, so something was still alive, but she had a clinical death. She described what was on the roof of the hospital where nobody could have access. There was an old shoe up there, and she described what it looked like. And they went up and looked. You'd have to have been floating overhead to have seen it, you know. Another one that was really interesting was a blind man who could not see at all, described everything in the operating room, from the ceiling, that is, and described what had been taking place while he was being operated on. Third one that was even more interesting was a man was admitted into the emergency. Unbeknown to him, his sister came in sometime later. They did not tell him that she was in there. They both died at the same time and met each other floating around the hospital. And she said she went on and did not come back. She said, "Your time has not come. You have to go back." And when he woke up, he told those in attendance to him that his sister had died. He did not even know she was in there at that time. I mentioned that they're interesting stories, and they tell us really that God wants us to understand what's going on. Obviously, we don't know everything, but he wants us to have the high ground. We're not supposed to go through life deaf, dumb, and blind. The Lord gives us the Holy Spirit for power and insight. Every one of our decisions can be informed by our Lord and help us to understand. I don't know how many of you have been present at the moment of death of somebody or close to someone that you've been caring for. It's interesting how unusual things will happen. Has anybody here experienced that? A lot of you have. I have when my mother died. Because, why is this? You've got the other world. Remember, it's a different dimension. It's inconceivable to us. The fingers of that world are coming in to greet the person that's going there. And so the two come together, and if you're in the right place, you're going to see the glove. You won't see the hand, but you'll see the glove that's around it as it comes in. And these are wonderful things, and they're great signs for us, and we're meant to reflect on them. I've often said at funerals, "Oh, if only the deceased could get up and tell us what they really think," but I'm glad nobody has ever taken me up on the offer so far. But in a way, this is what our Lord has done, though, hasn't he? He has died, he rose from the dead, and from his place in heaven and on earth, he guides us. The way that we gain this insight is through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the week we should all be praying to the Holy Spirit for guidance in our lives as we approach Pentecost Sunday, the great feast of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. You notice that Jesus tells the apostles, he says, "You're going to be my witnesses throughout the world, but don't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit comes. You don't have the power until he gives you the power." Do I pray to the Holy Spirit before a major decision? Do I ask God's help before a difficult conversation, let's say, when you want some insight? Do I ask God's help in discerning my life? Have I ever sat down and asked myself, where am I going? What do I need to work on? What am I doing well? The Spirit will help us. And we have this great gift of the Bible. I just got my Bible rebound, and parishioner told me where to go, to get my Bible rebounded. and so, some of you may remember I brought it to Mass a couple months ago, and it fell apart in your presence. It fell into 5 pieces, and I realized God was trying to tell me something. So, with joy, I brought it with me on my retreat and made a renewed commitment to meditating on the Scriptures more. And I invite you to do the same thing. Everything you need to know, virtually everything to give you a life of deep insight, is in the Scriptures. Do yourself a favor and begin to read it. How much time, forgive me for bringing this up again, but how much time do you spend on television? When was the last time you opened a Bible at home? The television is not going to save you. EWTN will help, okay? But Do you spend 5 minutes with the Bible? Give it 5 minutes. Read until something grabs you, and then stop right there. This is not volume reading. Look in the New Testament for something to give you a word for the week. It's an amazing thing. It will change your life. It gives you that divine perspective. Without that, the people of this world, you know, there's a lot of scientists trying to figure out these near-death experiences, trying to find some physical explanation for this. They're never going to explain why a blind person can see the whole room when they're dying. But we understand, because we know there is a soul, and it survives the body. It's not a surprising story at all. I don't know if it's true, but it certainly could be. Huh? I'd be surprised if it wasn't, because I know the scriptures. So I invite you, I'm back from my retreat, why don't you go on a kind of a retreat with the Lord and ask Him for the insight you need for the coming year? This is what I asked Him as pastor of this parish. I said, Lord, it's your parish. Where do you want us to go? And He will be speaking to me through you and through the scriptures and through the church. We are ourselves on a stage. All of heaven is watching us. We are in a, as I've said before, we're in a big play. We are eternal beings who are caught in this brief lifespan, making our decisions that will establish our place in the next world. Please God, all of us will go to heaven. But our rank will... St. Paul went to the seventh heaven, just for evidence of that. There are many other levels. Each decision is vitally important. And I will end with this, another meditation from the retreat. You know, what's important to the Lord is often not important to us. I'm more and more convinced in ministry the most important thing is the person in front of me right now. How did I make that person feel? Were my words, when I said this to somebody, how did they feel? When I did this, what was their reaction? This is what we're going to see again. And finally, what did God think of it? If we take things to that level, we cannot go wrong. And so our Lord invites us to ascend with Him to the heavens through the scriptures, through our conscience, through the church, in order to gain the divine perspective.